Please rise. Our processional hymn is 879. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. In his name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may love in our hearts through faith. Amen. Please rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world and for the well-being of the Church of God, and the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise is number 848. Follow me in the prayer of the day. Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you and your favor with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that leaving behind all that hinders us, we may steadfastly follow your paths through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Good morning. The first reading is from the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 15 to 16 and 19 through 21. And God is speaking to Elijah. Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Japheth of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place." So he, Elijah, set out from there and found Elisha, son of Japheth, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of Elisha, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He, Elisha, left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He, Elisha, returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he, Elisha, boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he, Elisha, set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 16 responsively. "Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord.
I have a good heart for you.
As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble ones. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. I keep the Lord always before me. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices.
And my body also rests secure.
For you do not give me up to Sheol. You show me the path of life. The second reading is from the New Testament, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 and 13 through 25. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become enslaved to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Please rise for the gospel. The Gospel for today, third Sunday of Pentecost, is from the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. From Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, talking about Jesus, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And Jesus sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for his arrival. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he, Jesus, turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, Jesus said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Now, normally, I find a sermon that I like and that speaks to me, and then I find the things that I don't quite follow and I don't quite that don't quite speak to me, and I change them to meet the spirit of the day. But this one was so exciting that I didn't change anything. So buckle up and hold on. Elijah and Elisha. What an epic story. It's pure Hollywood. Mixed together, The Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, and Indiana Jones. And this would give just some of the ingredients. I mean, there are wicked kings and queens from a couple of weeks ago. Wild, bearded, eccentric revolutionaries. That's Elijah. Wide-eyed acolyte disciples eager to drink from the cup of the master's wisdom. That's Elijah. Sacred, powerful garments. Incredible scenery. Mountains, deserts, and huge rushing rivers. And we've not even considered the special effects. And what special effects they are. George Lucas would be so proud. We have whirlwinds, rivers magically parted, firestorms beyond our pyrotechnic dreams, deep, booming, cavernous, thunderous, deafening roars, sparks, and spectacular energy. Then there's fornication, impurity, litigiousness, idolatry. Oh, wait, sorry. Those are from Elijah. Those aren't from Elijah's story. Those are from the letter of Paul to the Galatians. But what a letter it is. I mean, here's that list again. Fornication, impurity, litigiousness, idolatry, sorcery, indemnity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Whatever those Galatians were up to, it certainly wasn't stamp collecting. And what themes Paul raises. The dangers of replacing slavery of one kind with slavery of another, slavery to self-gratification and self-indulgence. We should look at those in detail. What a vivid depiction of Elijah. The whirlwinds, the fire, rather like the disciples in the Samaritan village. They must have been thinking about Elijah as well. They are asking Jesus if he wants them to summon down upon the village because the townsfolks didn't receive him. Summon down fire on the village because the townsfolks didn't receive him. What an extraordinary episode. What on earth were those disciples thinking? Wishing for fiery immolation of that. Foxes have their holes, but the Son of Man has no. Let the dead bury their own. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit. But weren't we talking about the Galatians? We seem to have been distracted by Elijah. Or was it the Samaritan village? And what? And that is precisely the point. There are so many wondrous, exciting, vibrant, insightful, diverting, important things that could be said about all of our readings today. We could so easily flutter from one to another, lighting on some little vignette that takes our fancy, and then another. And what we'd end up with would be a glorious technicolor mess. In this day and age, distractions abound like mushrooms in a dark basement. Far from avoiding them, we seek them out. The term multitasking seems to have negative connotations, but in fact, we tend to view the ability to do more than one thing at a time as a virtue. Texting during a meeting? Sure, why not? Checking Facebook at a dinner party? Why, yes, doesn't everybody? It persuades the people around us that we have a full, busy, important life. Most probably we persuade ourselves too. We flit from one shiny thing to another, wowed by the things that are sleeker, faster, bigger, higher. And that is also precisely the point. There are so many distractions and diversions. But each of these conspire to take our minds off the ball. Faced with a bewildering array of choices, we can easily become unfocused and lose our single-mindedness. All of the characters we meet in today's readings, apart from Jesus, are distracted by something. The disciples of Jesus are distracted by the mistrust of the Samaritans. The people that Jesus and the disciples meet on the way are distracted by their material possessions, duties, and social conventions. The Galatians are distracted by all manner of ephemeral self-gratification, and petty jealousies. Elijah is distracted by the thought that he might not inherit Elijah's special powers. Even Elijah has been distracted. Much earlier in the story, he had been challenged by the pagan prophets of Baal to a competition atop Mount Carmel to see which of their respected deities was the most powerful. In a story as equally full of impressive special effects as today's, in which the pagan gods were crushed, the triumphant Elijah orders the massacre of all 450 prophets of Baal. After all this spilt blood, Elijah falls into a depression and hides in a cave. No doubt there were functional reasons for his dejection and his hiding, since there was probably a price on his head. But there was more to it than that. "Enough, O Lord," Elijah says. "Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Remarkably, this is nothing less than Elijah's conversion. He has set his God, Yahweh, in competition with the other gods of Baal. But all Elijah had achieved by this was to put himself on the same level as the pagan prophets he claimed to despise. The contest on Mount Carmel had merely ended up being a show of strength, between rival shamans. Elijah had spent his life seeking God in the earthquakes, the fire, and the winds, but had eventually found him in the small, still voice. In his book, Beyond Resentment, the Roman Catholic theologian James Allison calls Elijah's dark night of the soul his undeceiving. His realization that what set his God apart from all the others was not that he was more masculine and whose religion was more efficacious, but that he was, in fact, the very antithesis of that. Elijah's conversion experience seems not to have filtered down to the disciples, Jesus' disciples. They, along with the rest of their compatriots, seem to prefer Elijah in his noisy showmanship phase, when Jesus' disciples suggest raining down fiery destruction on the Samaritan village. Their understanding of God is just as off target as Elijah's had been. Time and again, we are shown how the disciples just don't seem to get it. We know that eventually they do, but it's a long journey for them to reach the realization that God's strength is in weakness. God's rule is in servanthood. God's power is in humility. And God's judgment is in forgiveness. Before we congratulate ourselves on being smarter and more insightful than those first disciples, let us take a moment to consider if we ourselves and the church in general get it any more than they did. In Faith Beyond Resentment, James Allison suggests that what Elijah's conversion experience tells us is that our own religious identity might need to be turned upside down too. "Here we are," he writes, "face to face with the collapse of the sacred and real demolition of personal structures and ways of speaking about God. This collapse is the crucible in which theological development is wrought." More and more people are saying that the church is at a pivotal point in its life. Some even describe it as a collapse. Certainly, we are in a time of wholesale reassessment. But maybe that's not such a bad thing. Perhaps, as Christ commented, commentators like Diana Butler Bass and Phyllis Tickle suggest, it is that we are on the brink of a new great awakening. Perhaps it is where we hear afresh the still small voice of God and what His voice is inviting us to do, and where we will understand much better how to break free of the slavery of distractions. Amen. Our hymn of the day is number 800. Please rise for the confession of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again and ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Drawn into the embrace of the Holy Trinity, we lift our prayers for the wholeness of the Church, the world, and all creation. Guide your church, O God. Anoint us for service and make us messengers of your peace. Emboldened by the witness of Christians throughout history, send us to proclaim your reign. To proclaim your reign, come near. God of grace, protect this world, O God. Watch over fields and fruit trees, foxes and birds, the pleasant land beneath us and the sun and the moon above. Keep us mindful of the rich inheritance you have given us in this God of grace. Counsel our leaders, O God. Make them steadfast in seeking justice and unable to be shaken as they pursue peace. Let them by your Spirit, lead them by your Spirit to listen and respond to the God of grace. Uphold all who suffer, O God. Give refuge to those of us who know rejection and shelter to those of us who have nowhere to lay our heads. Bring any who are sick into your healing presence, especially those who we lift up to you now. All your faithfulness of joy. Set free this assembly, O God. Grow your Spirit's fruit within us and within our congregation's ministries. Set our faces always on you, that we might live in the freedom to which you have called us. God of grace, embrace all your saints, O God. We thank you for the faithful departed. Let us rejoice that you do not abandon us to the grave, but lead us on. Gather all our prayers in your mercy, O Lord. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Please follow me now in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year, it is the third Sunday of Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday this week to Mackenzie Olson, Kelly Brannick, Vernon Wetzel, Alexis Swanson, Brian Rast, Christopher Holt Grover, David Rupp, and Marley Anderson. Happy anniversary this week to Andrew and Laura Porth, Clay and Debbie Erickson. Altar flowers today are given in the glory of God and mercy, and in memory, honor of Chuck Strom's 80th birthday on June 14th, and Chuck and Sharon Strom's 60th wedding anniversary on June 30th. Thanks be to God. AF Daily Bread is in need of help in putting tables and chairs up after the service today. It would be greatly appreciated. Are there any other announcements?
So I am here to plead for help setting up all the tables and the chairs that we need for AF Daily Bread tomorrow night. Cooking tomorrow night is Powerhouse Christian. They are having soups, and that sounds kind of funny, but I like soup anytime. Soup, salad, rolls, and cake. So, but we do need a lot of muscle power to help us. There are cookies and crackers and cheese and stuff down there. So get some nourishment and then help us with the tables. We appreciate all of you.
And offering will be collected at this time.
God has given to us, so we give to one another. Blessed to be a blessing. Please rise. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Our recessional hymn is 661. I love to tell the story. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.